Okay, Ramban Parshas Balak. The Ramban begins the Parsha asking why Moab was so afraid of Klal Yisrael. Like it's the first pasuk, it says, Vayogar Moab ipnei ha'am ma'od ki rav. Moab was so scared. Why in the world was Moab so scared? Moab knew that Klal Yisrael wasn't coming for them. Al tatzar es Moab. Klal Yisrael's not allowed to attack Moab. So why is Moab so scared? So the Ramban explains, because, like they said to the Ziknei Midyan, they weren't afraid that they were going to completely take them over. They were afraid that they were going to be rough on them, make them pay taxes and hurt them a little bit, like this, like a cow that licks the grass in the field and it gets ruined. So that's what they were afraid. They were afraid of Klal Yisrael was going to tax them and cause them other sorrows. Okay. Then, so they're discussing with Midian what Eitzah to do. So if you look at the end of that pasuk, it says, Balak ben Tzipor melech leMoav ba'Eisahi. So, Balak was king of Moab at that time. What exactly does at that time mean? So Rashi says it means he shouldn't have been king, but once Sichon died, they made him king over them. So, the Ramban is slightly different explanation, that they came up with an Eitzah. Moab didn't have a king. And when this thing came, that the Klal Yisrael was coming to them, they appointed a king. They appointed Balak. And he was a powerful officer and warrior. This idea to have a king was Moab's idea, Midian's idea. So they appointed this king. And then this king, Balak, came up with the Eitzah to send to Moab, to send to Bilam. So the Malachim that were sent by King Balak, but the Eitzah to have a king was Midian's. So Midian told Moab, you guys go get a king. They appointed this strong warrior officer, Balak. He took over at that time, meaning to deal with this threat, the perceived threat, and it was Balak's idea to send messengers to Bilam to hire him. Okay, so then they come to Bilam, and Bilam has a dream. And Hashem says, don't go. Lo selechem ahem, lo so'oresam kiveruchi. He says, absolutely do not go. So Bilam gets up in the morning and tells Balak, okay, he tells the shlichei Balak, go home, because Hashem doesn't want me to go with you. Now Rashi says, what do you mean go with you? Go with you means Hashem doesn't want me to go with lowly people like you. Send me more chasha people. Okay, that's Rashi's shot. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says, no, he meant what he said. I can't go, period. It's just when the reason Balak then sent more chashuv people is not because, like Rashi says, Bilam requested it, rather because Bilam thought that that was the issue. Balak thought that was the issue, meaning he thought that that's why Bilam wasn't going, because he didn't offer enough covet and money. And that's why Bilam responded, no, that's not the issue. I can only go if Hashem lets me go. Then we have something that is, what happens next is obviously puzzling, because the second group comes, and then Hashem says, okay, go. If im lekor lecha, Ban Hashem, you can go. Just make sure to say what I tell you to say. Now you can go. And just make sure that whatever I tell you to say, you should say. So everybody's, so Hashem changes his mind. First Hashem said, don't go. Now Hashem says, do go. So Rashi says, Hashem was just saying that if you want to take money for it, fine. Just make sure that you say what I tell you to say. And Bilam went because he was hoping to convince Hashem. Okay, then we have later on, it says, that's even bigger. Pella said, Hashem gets upset that Bilam went. So what happened? So according to Rashi, the heter for Bilam to go was for money, not to curse the Jews. Hashem was saying, if you want to go for money and give him a bracha, no problem. And Bilam went trying to convince, thinking he will convince Hashem to curse the Jews. That's why Hashem was upset that he went. Okay. Then he quotes Rav Saadia Gaon, who says that the changes from the first dream to the last dream is exactly what Rashi said, that Hashem only wanted him to go with higher level people. Okay. Ibn Ezra's pshat is, again, the Ramban brings all this. Ibn Ezra's pshat is that Hashem just said, okay, you can go, like by the Meraglim. The Meraglim, Hashem did not say send Meraglim. He did not want them to send Meraglim. He wanted them to just go, according to Ibn Ezra, and when they said, go, we're going to send, can we send spies? Hashem said, you okay, like Rashi brings, you want to do something bad, I'm going to give you a place to have trouble. Hashem acceded to their request. not agreed. So that's the same thing here. Just like by the spies, Hashem said fine, but I don't approve. So to hear was fine, but I don't approve. Okay, so that's the Ibn Ezra's pshat. And the Ramban has a different pshat. The Ramban says that Hashem told him the second time, first time he said, you want to go to curse them? No, don't go curse them. Second time Hashem said, if you want, you could go, but you can go and bless them. That's it. You're going to only bless them. So the sin of Bilam was that he should have told the officers, I can only come with you if you want me to, come up with some things about the future or other stuff or bless the Jews, but no cursing. Bilam didn't say that. He just went. He said, I would have to say what Hashem said, but he didn't say, I'm only going to bless the Jews. In other words, the lo sa'or ha'am, that's not changing. Hashem says, you're not going to curse them. So anything else that he went for, okay, not cursing. So Bilam should have said that to them, that I know you're hiring me to curse them, but I can do anything but. He didn't say that, and that was the Avera. And also it was a chil Hashem, because by the fact that Bilam went, it made it look like Hashem, had said, sure, you can go and curse them, because Bilam said, I'll do whatever Hashem said. So the fact that he's going makes it look like Hashem said he can go and curse them. That was never the case, and that was the Avera, why Hashem was upset that he went. Okay, then we have they go on the way, and the donkey sees the Malach Elokim. That's what it says, Vatera ha'asonis Malach Hashem. The donkey saw the Malach Hashem. Now Rashi says that the animal saw more than humans. The animal could see the Malach Hashem, but not humans, otherwise people would go crazy. But the animal could see. Okay, so the Ramban says, animals don't see Malachim. Forget it. It doesn't happen. First of all, he says, and this is always important when you're dealing with anything from that realm, in things in Shemayim. When we talk about Malachim having wings, and there's no physical Malachim. They're not even like clouds. It's spiritual. There's nothing to see. It's conceptual. So there's this thing called, a Malach, which is a concept, a Ruchnius concept, but there's nothing to see. And you can see it with your mind's eye kind of seeing. Like you can perceive it, understand it. It's not like with your physical eye and your retina. It's not that kind of thing. Now, again, obviously, this is things I don't know what I'm talking about exactly, but my understanding of what he means is that maybe in your mind you'll picture it a certain way because it translates in your mind a certain way. But there's nothing to see physically. And he says, a donkey has no brain. So it's not seeing anything. There's nothing to see, right? Donkey's not seeing anything. There was nothing physical to see. And its mind wouldn't be able to perceive a malach. So what does it mean, the chamor, that this donkey saw a malach elokim? Ramban explains it didn't see anything. But it kind of had a sense. It was afraid and didn't know why it was afraid. It got this, intuition of danger. So it saw the Malach Elokim in the sense that it perceived that there was some threat. It didn't know why, though. It didn't understand why it was afraid, but it knew it was afraid, and it knew there was danger. And at no point does the donkey ever say, hey, there's a Malach in front of me, even when he starts talking. He never says, I saw a Malach and went away, because he didn't see. He just perceived the danger. So anyway, but that, of course, is a dochik in the words of the Pasuk, but that's what the Ramban's explaining about. Teira ha'asonis, Malach Hashem. Doesn't mean he saw it with his eyes. It means he perceived it, and he perceived the malach being there on some level, not as a malach, but just perceived the danger, somehow knew, and that's why he got out of the way. Now, the Ramban does say sometimes a malach can appear as a human. That's fully seeable. If the malach is being a malach, then you can't see it. But if the malach is coming bidmus anoshi, a malach can come as a human, but then everybody could see that human. You don't need a Bilam would have seen it too. So if it was just appearing as a person, that a malach can do, then everybody would see them. Now the Ramban, a little bit, slightly backtracks and says, look, donkeys can't talk either. So Hashem can make an ace. If Hashem made an ace and make a donkey talk, Hashem can make an ace and the donkey could see a malach and, whatever. Once the donkey's talking, you give it a brain too. When we're in the world of Nisim, anything can happen. But he says, Chazal don't say that. Chazal say the nace was at the donkey talk. They don't say also the nace was at, it got a brain of a regular human and could perceive things and whatever. So it sounds like he doesn't think that in his first shot is what he think is correct. And what's the purpose of this nace, of the donkey talking to him? In case anybody ever wondered, what was the purpose of this nace, that the donkey to talk to him? So Ravan says, to tell you that Hashem controls mouths, dalam. So don't go thinking you're going to say whatever you want to say. I control what is said. That's what Hashem was showing them, and you're going to say what I tell you to say. Okay, then we have this theme that the Ramban says a couple times in the Parsha. It says, Vayigal Hashem es enei Bilam. Hashem opened Bilam's eyes, or revealed Bilam's eyes. Whatever that exactly means, Ramban says, it means he's not a Navi. Okay, this is the theme throughout the Parsha. Bilam was no Navi. And he goes at great lengths in several different times here to say that Bilam was... There's a certain level of Ruah below a Navi is like Ruach HaKodesh, and there's levels below that, and Bilam was two levels down from a Navi. He wasn't a Navi, he wasn't Ruach HaKodesh, he had something below that. Again, I don't exactly know what all these different levels in the Ruah are, but he wasn't a Navi, he wasn't someone who had Ruach HaKodesh, he was a level below that. And that's, this Lashon of Egal Hashem Esenei Bilam indicates that. We'll get to that, back to that a little bit later. And he discusses Bilam's Nebuah a little more. We'll get back to that later. Okay, so Bilam requests to go up to Ba'amos Baal to see Kitzehan. Why does he need to see the Jewish people? Why does he need to see them? So the Ramban explains, because you need that to be medabik your nefesh to them. When you look at something and you stare at it, so then you can be medabik your nefesh to them. And then it helps the bracha, or in this case, what he thought would be the klala, hoped would be the klala to the people. And he said, you find that in the story with Rav Yochanan, who, when he looked at Reish Lakish and killed him, he had to pick up his eyebrows. You have to have that looking to have it work. Actually, the story that Ramban is referring to is with Rav Kahana, but it was the same thing. It was the same Rav Yochanan. He had to pick up his eye, look at someone, then they would die. You need to have the looking. Okay, now Bilam speaks. It says, Vayasam Hashem Davar Bipi Bilam. Shem put words in Bilam's mouth. So, I think it's Ibn Ezra brings us. There are some Mefarshim that say that Bilam didn't even know what he was saying. His mom is like, the Gemara says that, Shem took a fishhook, I think, and grabbed him by the cheek. He didn't even know what he was saying. He had no idea what he was saying. That's Vayasam Hashem Davar Bibi Bilam. That's one pshat. Okay, the Ramban doesn't like that pshat. And the Vayasam Adarba Befiv means that Hashem told Bilam to memorize it. I mean, Hashem told Bilam exactly the words to say. And this is going to get back, again, talking about Bilam's Nebuah. We'll talk about it soon. It's Hashem. But Hashem taught Bilam the exact words to say and said, memorize these. Go tell Bilam exactly what I said. That's Vayasam Hashem Adarba Befiv Bilam, that he should memorize it. Okay, so we know Bilam blesses Kli Yisrael. One of the things he says is, Hamos Nafshi Mos Yesharim. What does it mean? He should die in Mos Yesharim. So the Ramban says it means Mos Yeshurun, the mitzvah of Klai Yisrael, because Klai Yisrael are Nochli Gan Eden. And he wanted that their chelik is b'chayim. Okay, then the next time he comes, in Pasuk Dezayin, so it says, Vayikar Hashem El Bilam. Now if you look back, the last time is Vayikar Elokim. In Pasuk Dalet it says, Vayikar Elokim El Bilam. This time it says, Vayikar Hashem El Bilam. We know Elokim is Midas Hadin. So at that point, when Bilam still had hope, he would be able to say something that would convince, so to speak, Hashem to do something bad to Klal Yisrael, and Hashem was coming to be this Adin, so maybe it'd work. This time, Hashem came with the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the name of Rachamim, so Bilam knew there was no chance. And later on it says, Vayar Bilam Ki Tov Be'enei Hashem Lavarech Yisrael, that's the Shem Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's the Midas Rachamim, would always be Latova. Okay, and then in the bracha that Bilam says Ki Lo Nachash B'Yakov, so Rashi says they don't need any nachash. The Ramban says that it means nachash doesn't work against them. In Mazal Yisrael, and there's no nachash b'Yakov. No nachash b'Yakov means it won't work on Klai Yisrael. No kesem b'Yisrael, no mat, you know, it's not going to hurt them. They're not tachas the memshelas of kochavim. Okay, so, you know, and you hear all these stories, I don't know how many of them are true, about people nowadays who do some kind of magic, and I've heard different verses, different stories over the years, people trying to do magic nowadays and it not working when a Jew is nearby. I don't know. You find in the Gemara, it seems, that magic did work on Jews. In the Gemara, there's different things they had to do to make sure magic wouldn't work against them, I believe. whatever it is, it certainly means it won't work against Klal Yisrael as Klal Yisrael. There's no nachash, the same with any Mazal Yisrael. That's Pash just talking about the Klal Yisrael as a whole. There's no Mazal that's gonna, or no magic that will work against Klal Yisrael. Now, then it has that Pasuk, Heinem Kalaviya Kum Mechariyas Nasa. And the Rabban here just throws in again what he said at the beginning, that Balak was really not expecting Klal Yisrael to take over his land. He knew that was not the plan, but he did want to hurt them. And he also says he was trying to get back from them Eretz Sichon and Og, because that he viewed as his, because Sichon took it from Moab, and that was the heter for Klal Yisrael to take it from Sichon, because they're not allowed to attack Moab. Once Sichon stole it from Moab, Klal Yisrael to take it from Sichon. Moab thought, we could get that land back. And that's why they wanted to curse Klal Yisrael. Like he says, it's a mefurish in Shoftim. Okay. I guess one thing I should clarify, it's not exactly like it says over there that that's what was Moab's intention, I don't think. But it's definitely talked about that they wanted to get that land back. Okay, now I want to get back to that thing we were talking about at the beginning, the level of Bilam's Nevuah. So, the Ramban says, like I said, that it was not a high level, it was a low level. So, he's bothered by the same thing you are almost surely thinking. What do you mean Bilam's level was a low level? It says that there was no Navi in Yisrael as great as Moshe. In Yisrael, Chazal say there was no one as great as Moshe, who had the Nevuah of Moshe. But in the Gaim there was, Bilam. It sounds like Bilam's Nevuah was on the level of Moshe. And yet here, the Ramban says that his level was not even of a regular Navi. It wasn't even on the level below that of Ruach Kodesh, the level below that. So what does Chazal mean that his Nevuah, he was level, his Nevuah was like Moshe's, greater than Moshe's? So the Ramban quotes that and says that, no, that's not a steer to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is right. It just means in certain aspects it was greater than Moshe, but in nothing exciting, in nothing important, as you'll see. The Medrash says that what I just said, that Bilam had Nevuah, no one came like Moshe except for Bilam, and it says, or explains there, Moshe didn't know what Hashem would say, and Bilam didn't know what Hashem would say. Moshe didn't know when he would be spoken to, Bilam didn't know when he would be spoken to. Moshe would only speak to Hashem standing, Bilam would speak to Hashem lying down. So Lerban comes to think, I bet you think those are milas. Got it completely wrong. They're not milas. They're different. And they're all actually chesronos. So he explains that Moshe could get Nevuah at any time. That's what it means. Moshe didn't know when he would be spoken to. Bilam knew when Hashem would speak to him because he couldn't just snap his fingers and it would happen. He would have to do, get himself in the mood to be mechaven and do his whole thing. And he knew that if he had a chance, Hashem would listen to, he knew Hashem was not going to come talk to him about anything other than cursing the Jews. Like he would be mechaven to connect to Hashem and to curse the Jews, and he knew what Hashem would say, meaning it would be about cursing the Jews. Hashem was not going to just tell him some new mitzvah. Moshe, Hashem could come at any time to him, because Moshe was on a high level, and Moshe never knew what Hashem would say, because Hashem was coming to him. And, he could just tell him a new mitzvah, go tell Klal Yisrael this. That's because Moshe was on a higher level. And the fact that Bilam fell to the ground, that's because Bilam was on a lower level. Moshe was on a higher level. He didn't have to fall down. He was able to stand when getting Nevuah. But Bilam was on a low level, and therefore his body couldn't handle him. And he got a Nevuah, he'd just start shaking and fall to the ground. So that was a sign of a very low level of Nevuah. So all these things that it's making it like as if it's better, it's not better. And the Medrash gives an example to a butcher. A butcher knows how much how much it costs or how much the food the king needs at the table. So too Bilam knew. So he said the officer is the chashuv one in the king's palace, not the butcher. The fact that the officer doesn't know what's, things like that is not because the butcher is more chashuv than the officer. It's because the butcher only has one thing to deal with, food, so he knows that. So that's why the butcher knew, meaning here Bilam knew what Hashem was going to talk about because he's only entitled to talk about one thing. Whereas, whatever he'd be mechavin to, and that, but the Moshe could be talked to about anything, and Hashem would talk to him. And in one sense, Bilam had a high level of Nevuah, because most Nevi'im, get some vision that they have to understand, and Moshe got spoken to Mila b'Mila. So in that sense, that Bilam had a high level of nevuah, so to speak, because Hashem told him word for word what to say. That's what the Ramban said throughout, that Hashem told him, these are the words you're going to say. Say these exact words. So in that way, it was explicit. So now what I just told you about the word for word, I was basing that on, you know, what he had said before. There, just to be clear, what the Rabban here says is that Bilam understood what Hashem meant exactly, which is similar to Moshe. But he says, that which would happen into the future, because Bilam talks about the future. So that was exactly accurate. Anyway, that's the point of the thing that was high level, that he got exactly what would happen to the future of Klal Yisrael, exactly what to see, that clarity of what was being communicated to him was there, but the style or the high levelness of it, you know, that was not. It was a low level of nevuah, super low. Just knowing exactly what was being said, that was not left to chance. That was spelled out to Bilam, so he should understand very clearly. That was a type of higher level, but it's not the connection to Hashem was high. That was low level. The understanding of what was being communicated, that was clear. So basically, he was a low-level Navi. He got clear instructions, but he was a low-level Navi. He had to fall to the floor and could only talk about, you know, it was only going to be about what he was supposed to be talking about, what he was mechamen to. Anyway, so these are all explanations of Bilam's nevuah being low-level. Okay, now when Bilam is saying his speeches about the future, the Ramban says some interesting things. One is when it says, V'yarom me'agag malko v'tinase malchuso. Who's Agag? So that's the king of Amalek. Ramban says the term Agag was not actually, Agag is not, Agag may be the first guy, but that's the term used for the king. Like, he doesn't spell this out, but like Caesar, he says the first one who conquers gets called, gets that, you know, everybody else who's king gets the name. So, everybody was Agag. Every king of, like Paro, every king and Caesar, every king of that country has the same name. It's just it becomes the way of saying king. Whoever the first king is, everybody afterwards gets to be called that. So Agag becomes just the name of the king of Amalek, but it's always Agag. So it's not that it's being named, like Agag shouldn't have even been alive yet. Agag wasn't being named before he was born. The king of Amalek was always Agag. That's just the name of the king of Amalek, Agag. And when it says Haman, who was son of Agag, it means related to royalty, had royal blood. I mean, we know Chazal say that Haman was actually the grandson of Agag, but he's saying, anyway, it doesn't have to mean that. Haman Agag, it means you're royal, because that was perhaps just the name of the kings of Agag. Like, he says, Gog, king of Magog, that Gog is also that kind of term. It doesn't mean the king of Magog will be named Gog. It's just a term of the king. The king is always called Gog. So he could be Bob, his name. It's just like Pharaoh. You know, he may have another name. But Gog is the term of the used for the king of the land of Magog. Okay, but he's saying that Klal Yisrael will destroy its enemies, and therefore Balak says, okay, I'm done. He's going to destroy his enemies. That doesn't help me anymore, so I don't need you here anymore. And he says, go home. Okay, then we have Klal Yisrael's Darach Kochav Miyakov. So Rabban understands that's Mashiach. This star, it'll be a star from Yaakov, and it's going to be, he's talking about time Mashiach, so it's a long way off, a star. A star will come from Yaakov and destroy all of Moab and destroy Edom, and not that the Moab would be destroyed right away, but they'll be destroyed lachos hayamim. And when it says Bayaris Amalek, the Ramban understands he literally saw Amalek, he went up to a place where he could see Amalek, not like Rashi who says Nestako b'Parono shel Amalek. Literally, he saw Amalek. And he says, by Amalek, it's ki reishis goyim Amalek. What does it mean, reishis? So not that, like Rashi says, they were the first to attack Klal Yisrael, but that they were the tops. Like, they had the strongest army. They were, you know, that's why it was this big nace that they beat the Amalekim and Yeshua had to pick people. And the whole thing is because they weren't just some loser nation. They had a super strong army, and it was a big nace that Klal Yisrael was saved for them. And the whole thing with Moshe on the mountain, because Amalek was strong. They were a very powerful nation. It was a nace that Hashem saved them. So that's Reishis Goyim Amalek. The Achariso, in the very end, Adeyoved, he'll be lost. Okay, now he's going on, the way the Rabban explains it, to discuss the Arba Malchios that came against Klal Yisrael. And Sim Biyad Kitim, Kitim, he says, are the Edom, the one, Rome, the Gullus that we're in today. And it too, Gamhua de Ovid, will eventually be destroyed. So now he says some Yisodistic things here. First of all, so Yavon came before Edom. And he just told you Kitim are the Romans. But he says Kitim are from Yavon. It says Bnei Yavon Elisha Vesarshish Kitim Bedodanim. That means that the Romans are from Yavon. So why is that a separate gullus? So he says, yeah, no, of course, that's right. You know what Chazal call Rome, right? But Italia shall Yavon. The Gemara in Megillah says Italia shall Yavon. That's Italy. Rome's in Italy. So he says the Indian is because you could have, you know, Canaan also. Canaan had a bunch of kids, and some of them were Yavus. Right, yeah, the Yavusi, Emori, Girgashi, Chivi, those are all sons of Canaan. And yet, it's a separate nation, right? Canaan, Chiti, Emori, they're separate nations. Because that can happen. You can have a father who's considered one nation, and then the kids become large groups in other nations, they become their own nation. So, same thing. So there was, yes, Rome is a descendant of Yavon, but it was just considered a separate nation. Then he says that Ibn Ezra thinks that the Arba Gullios include Yishmael. And he says that's because he was scared of, you know, he was scared of the Yishmaelim, and he thought they were big, scary people, and how could that not be part of the Dal and Malchios that that Daniel saw? So the Rabban says, no, it's not. And he says that the Dal and Malchios are specifically what Daniel saw, because that takes you throughout all of Jewish history. And each one of them, when one got destroyed, the one that came after took over and continued the gullus of Klal Yisrael, and Rome took over from Yavon, and they continued the gullus of Klal Yisrael till Mashiach comes. And it doesn't matter that there are other people who are causing us tzaras. Yes, okay, so Yishmael calling us tzaras. It's still called gullus Edom. Everything is gullus Edom, even if the people causing you tzaras are from Yishmael. Because it means that's the thing that took over, and nothing took over from them, because everything we have today is a continuation of gullus Edom. That's interesting, you know, if you look historically, the Roman Empire kind of existed in the Ramban's day, sort of, like the Byzantine Empire, but, you know, it wasn't really the same. Anyway, whatever it is, he said everything is considered part of Rome. It doesn't matter if you're in a land that the people bothering you are the Yishmaelim. It's all called part of Gullus Romi, and Rome does not end till Mashiach comes. That's what he says. Mashiach will take care of Rome. That means the gullus of whatever that was represented by Rome, that their traditions, their culture, whatever, that thing that continues, that's the thing that's being Meshabed Klal Yisrael today, even if there are other people causing tzaras. And he says, and this is great, he says, and maybe Yishmael is not going to make it to Mashiach. He's like, you know, he says that Mi Yodea. It's written in a kind of way that makes you think like he did Yodea. Mi Yodea, maybe Yishmael will be destroyed before Mashiach comes. So that's why it's not part of the four Malchios. It may not make it till Mashiach comes. Edom, whatever Edom is, that concept lasts till Mashiach comes, only destroyed by Mashiach. Okay, then we have the story with the Benos Moav. So the Rabban points out that, of course, the Znus over here was not like Taiva Znus. I mean, it was in the sense that that's what they were doing, but it's not like the Bnos Moav were promiscuous. It was that their husbands told them, we want to be Machshel Klal Yisrael, so try to be Mezana with them so you can get them to worship Avodah Zarah of Baal Peor, and then they'll be destroyed. It wasn't like they were just in the mood of Znos. That wasn't. It was an attempt to destroy Klal Yisrael. Okay, and then we have this Chazal, which, you know, it's in the Gemara, and it's hard to understand. It says, how many people got killed? So it says, each Dayan from Klal Yisrael would kill two. And how many Dayanim were there in Klal Yisrael? 78,000 or whatever. And therefore, right, Rashi brings us. So that would mean 150,000 Jews were killed in the story of Baal Peor. That's what Rashi quotes from the Yerushalmi. That just means a tremendous amount of people were killed by the Dayanim. And the Ramban says, did you check the Minyanim? Like, it doesn't change that much. They're like, what in the world happened? You should have, when they got counted again, there should have been 150,000. There were only 600,000 to start with. 150,000, that's a whole lot. You'd have to say, if you're going with that, that it just, okay, they had a baby boom after that and went back to their original number. Anyway, the Ramban doesn't say that. That says that's not the pshat. That's not what happened. It means that was what was roi to happen. It was roi for those. That was the plan. In other words, there was the Magefa had started, and Moshe gets together the Dayanim and says, okay, you're going to have to kill all these amount of people. 150,000 people are going to end up dying. You're going to have to kill them. And then Zimri came, Zimri and Cusby, and essentially saved the day. Not that that was their intention. They did something in public to either rebel against Moshe or because his Sheva was pushing him, whatever the story is. But he did this nos very much in public. And then Pinchas got up, the Pekanoes Kinasi, and that was a kapara, that huge Kiddush Hashem that happened there, that was a kapara, and the Shoftim ended up killing nobody, zero. That stopped everything, stopped the Megefa, it stopped the dying and whatever, and so it ended up not being that 150,000. So some died in the Megefa, but the Shoftim did not kill anybody. This what happened with Pinchas, stopped it.